I was born in Stone in Staffordshire and was given Richard as my Christian name. We moved to East Anglia when I was very small. We lived near a town called King's Lynn. I went to the local village school as a young boy, and the school was a Church of England school, so it was attached to the church. My parents, they were not particularly religious, but I believe they wanted to give my sister and I the opportunity to choose for ourselves, which meant to understand something of it from the inside. So we went to church most Sundays, and often I used to go into that church to find some peace and quiet, and I had that as my personal space for many years. I was also one of the altar boys in the church. I would carry the cross and dress in a skirt. I always felt very close to Isa. Then I ended up winning a scholarship to a boarding school in Suffolk near Bury St Edmunds. So at 11 years old I went there, and that was my childhood began afresh. And whilst there, I suppose my interest in the church itself crumbled. It was as a teenager you start to ask questions which I was never given satisfactory answers to, the questions that came up about spiritual life, about God himself, and particularly about the Trilogy, the Trinity. Started to look elsewhere, and inevitably I gained an interest in hashish and in psychedelic drugs, basically using drugs to look at yourself. So I fancied I entered into this way. I didn't take the drugs for fun or for recreation. It was a way of working on yourself. Bearing in mind, at the time, at 15 years old, you were told, well, you should do this to get that, and once you've got that, you can do this, and it involves qualifications, university, good job, nice house in the suburbs. And I just felt this wasn't... There was more. There must be more. I left school at 18, travelled to Australia, where about a year I was in Australia, working in Sydney. Then I came back from Australia and moved into London. I was dossing on the floor of a friend's apartment who'd gone to university. And through dossing on his floor, I met his university friends and met my wife to be there at 19 or 20 years old.
My name's Mariam, I'm 42. I'm wife of Abdul Jabbar. My father's a Methodist from Ghana. My mum was born as a Catholic from the old Yugoslavia. But I was brought up as a Protestant Church of England. I always believed in God, but I found that religion wasn't helping me. It didn't provide me with any answers. So I left it and pursued Taoism, because I started to learn Tai Chi, and I thought, well, there must be something in that. And there was. I mean, up to a point, there was a lot of teachings that were helpful. But still feeling alone, really, and not having a proper purpose, and being involved in sort of the outward materialistic form of life, you know, searching materialistically for meaning in life. And it wasn't until I encountered Islam that I actually felt that I'd found something that was going to teach me something, that was going to take further, you know, take me further and fulfill me personally as a human being.
got a job working in the city with a property company who auctioned commercial property. Quickly, I became disillusioned again with that, and had the intention to drop out completely. So I went and bought myself a tent and a bow and a sleeping bag, and foolish as it may seem in hindsight now, at the time I was going to go and live in Spain up a mountain hunting for rabbits and foraging for salad. And this is what I was going to do, basically drop out. Then one day, shortly before I was due to leave my job and go, my whole vision became a cloudy sky. And when that cloudy sky cleared and I came back to reality, the first thing I saw was an open magazine on my desk. From where it came, I can't say. And it was open at the back pages where the adverts are. And the first thing my eyes saw was Shiatsu College. So I phoned straight away, enrolled myself into the Shiatsu College. I saw it as a bit of a, this was a gift. So I think that was around about the June. In September I started at the Shiatsu College, and then all of a sudden there came a visiting teacher who visited all the Shiatsu colleges in the country. And I remember him coming, and he did say, more or less, whatever you've been learning, forget it for this weekend. So as soon as he said that, that's my type of guy, you know, I loved it. Anyway, he only came for the weekend, went away, and I only saw him for that one weekend in the first year. And then the second year came around, and he came again, and this time, because now we are a year not beginning students anymore, we know something. So he came and he started talking about spiritual power. And this spiritual power you could gain from taking a spiritual guide or a spiritual master. At the end of which he said to us that he has a spiritual master, and that that spiritual master would be in London sometime in the coming year. If we were interested to meet him, put our names down, and when the time came, he'd call us and arrange for us to meet this spiritual master. So I was not so excited to see the spiritual master, but what I did want was to spend more time with the teacher. So I put my name down. Anyway, that was the end of the lesson. I went home. I lay down on the sofa, and I had one of those very lucid dream, you know, where you're kind of just half asleep, nodding off, and you have something comes. Anyway, the dream I had was very interesting to me. At the end of the dream, I ended up in space, and I looked to my left, and there was a red crystal pulsing, hovering in space, pulsing, and around it were rings of light that made it look a little bit like one of those table gyroscopes, you know, the ones you push and it's perpetually, a little bit like that. Anyway, so because of its colour and because it was pulsing, it was not a leap of intellect, but I said to myself, oh, that's something to do with the heart. And as soon as I thought heart, in the other side of the picture popped up like a little Victorian portrait of a guy with a turban and a beard, and from his mouth started to scroll script. Didn't hear anything, but from his mouth was scrolling script. That was the end of the dream. Well, excellent dream. Anyway, a few months went by, and suddenly I took a call from that shiatsu teacher to say that his spiritual master was in London. Did I want to come down and meet him? So the answer was yes. So he gave me an address in Tottenham. I arrived at that address in Tottenham and was an old convent. And in those days it still had one of those doors, you know, with the thing that goes. So I knocked on the door, goes the door, the face peeks out with a beard and a turban, and I thinks to myself, oh no, what have I done? Anyway, I was invited in. So I was shown into a room. The room was full up with beards and turbans, a few others. And I thought, oh dear, I don't want to be here. And then I saw everybody stand up. So as we're conditioned to do, I stood up also. And a man came in to the room, and before he said anything to anybody, he came directly behind the door, put his hand out to me and said to me, welcome. And I recognized the face as being the face from that dream. So immediately something had happened that had brought a dream into the world. And this, my whole life, I'd been seeking through one misguided way or another, I'd been seeking for this concrete, to me, proof. Anyway, I can't remember anything he said. He gave a speech, a talk, a sohbet after, which I remember precious little, because my head was... That was on the Saturday. I went back on the Sunday, because this was too weird to ignore. So I went back on the Sunday. On the Sunday, I was shown into a different room. And in that room, on the table, there was a gyroscope, the tabletop thing. So I became a little bit uneasy, and I grabbed hold of one of these turbaned wallahs, and I said, look, there's someone who's having a game with me here. Where's this gyroscope from? What's it doing there? It was in my dream. And of course, he's looking at me. And then I realised, you know, this is, I'm on the edge here of something great, almost madness, you can say. Anyway, long and short, he didn't know where that gyroscope was from. Nobody else seemed to know, so I took this is for me, as another proof. I already had the picture of the guy, and now I have, in effect, the crystal, the pulsing crystal from the heart is now sitting on the table. So that spiritual guide, that sheikh, came in, he gave another sohbet, and after the sohbet I took shahada.
He went out, he came back with a dazed expression, and I just looked at him and I said, oh, what have you done now, sort of thing, and he said, I've become a Muslim. And I said, what? Which was my initial reaction. And I know him, I know what he's like. He's always interested, always searching, he's very into the esoteric, so it doesn't shock me when he does things. I just have to process. So I was taken aback, because previously when you hear the word Muslim or Islam or anything like that, you have preconceived ideas. I had a lot of preconceived ideas. I studied French at university. I studied Maghriban novels, and there was an Algerian girl that taught us a couple of novels that were all about the subjugation of women and the hard life that women have in Algeria, and it was all Islam orientated, so I didn't have a very good impression of Islam at all in the beginning. So it was a bit of a shock at first, and he just said that he'd taken shahada, he'd taken bayat with Sheikh, and I didn't know what he was talking about. I had no idea, I had no clue of what any of that meant.
I met the sheikh on the Saturday. I took shahada on the Sunday. If you had said to me on the Friday that I would be Muslim, I would have you would have had an answer that you didn't want to hear, I'm sure. I knew nothing of Islam. I had been looking at, from a young age, at Christianity. I had looked through my drug interests in lots of other things, Buddhism, shamanism, Hindu stuff, Tibetan Buddhism, Tibetan Book of the Dead, and all of this, snippets from here and snippets from there. And long and short, I had not found anything really that fulfilled me, that was full. It all seemed empty. Although some of them gave a good reflection of something, was not complete. And then, alhamdulillah, I was given Islam, and I found my way home, is how it felt.
He never asked me to become Muslim. The only thing he asked me to do was to meet Sheikh, or to come with him to a dhikr, to meet his friends, to meet. I was very interested to meet Mikhail Rose, who was his shiatsu teacher, who introduced him in the first place. And from then I met his wife, who was the one who, not to say convinced me, but she warmed me to Islam. I was intrigued by her and her journey to Islam, if you like, because she was a convert as well. But no, he never asked me directly to become Muslim. I took that decision myself. It was about a year later. I think the relationship between Christianity and Islam for me is a continuation, definitely. I don't pertain to know everything about Islam or even Christianity. I can't say I've read every single thing. I just know what I feel. And to me, what I understand is, yes, is this continuation. As there was a continuation from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and now there's a continuation from Jesus to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So I think, yeah, it's more of a continuation rather than a separateness or a separate religion.
My wife and I, we were with each other before we became Muslim. So when we became Muslim, we became married. And now we both of the firm opinion that you must be married. You must be. And if you are not, then your relationship will suffer. Because now we both take so much joy in saying, oh, this is my wife, or this is my husband. And we feel it's an honor, no? And a gift to be given someone that you are in love with, and then more you're given, this is my wife. This is a half of me.
We got married the day I met Sheikh Nazim, and Abdul Jabbar had already taken Shahada and become Muslim through Sheikh Nazim. And he encouraged me to go and meet him. It was a special day. He was here for a Ramadan, I think in 1994. And I'd already been going to dhikrs with a group of people that were friends of Abdul Jabbar, and I'd met them, and I found them very nice and friendly, and it was a lovely environment. And so I was interested then to go and meet Sheikh. And so there was a meeting for new people, they say, people who are not involved in Islam in any way, who are interested in Sufism. And myself and two other girls were there, and there was a group of people in a room. And Sheikh just gave this lovely talk about truth, nothing about religion and nothing like that, just about truth. And then as he got up to greet the newcomers, he shook our hand, and all of a sudden our friend Mikhail, who's the gentleman that introduced Abdul Jabbar to Sheikh in the first place, piped up, oh, they'd like to get married. A gentleman was asking Sheikh to marry him to a lady, and he said, yes, if I can, inshallah, if not. So our friend Mikhail piped up and said, oh, they want to get married, and we sort of looked at each other. And Sheikh said, come. And he placed his hand on our heads, and then he married us just like that. It was that shocking and quite quick. But it was, mashallah, it was lovely. It was very beautiful. I felt the power of the wedding and of Sheikh, and it was beautiful.
Alhamdulillah, we have five beautiful children, and we try, in our limited knowledge, we try to live as Muslim, and we, inshallah, they are being brought up as what one might recognize as Muslim, inshallah. We're here at SOAS in central London, and we're just about to go on stage to make some zikr with not so traditional instruments. For the Imam Mehdi, who we are waiting for, inshallah. I think Mehdi will be here soon, inshallah. We are all in need of him. Since the Ottoman Empire 100 years ago, they got rid of the Khalifa, and Islam was put down. And now, since the last 20 years or so, Islam become less than down, and I think the signs are there that the end of time approaching, and inshallah Imam Mehdi will come and show us how we should behave, how we should be Muslims, how we should approach our Lord and approach each other, inshallah. I can't believe that Allah will have left us for so long with no hope, for no one coming.